Simon. Please give him a warm welcome.
Good evening. Simon, I'm an addict. And today I'm a very grateful addict. Grateful to be sitting here amongst fellow addicts, because it wasn't like that this time last year, that short space ago. I've had a bit of a strange one today. I got a phone call and I've had people coming up to me all day saying, "Oh, Simon, you're still alive." And it's like, you know, I got a phone call from one guy that never calls me. And he said, "Oh, is that you?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Oh, you are still alive then." And it'd gone round in the fellowship that a very unfortunate thing had happened to another Simon in fellowship. And he died of a brain tumour or something, and he was clean, and he was an estate agent, so this sort of thing went around. And all day I've been sort of walking around, and as I say, people have been coming up to me and going, "Thank fuck, you're here." And you know, even a year ago, I don't think things, apart from a close family and my really good pals, I probably wouldn't have been made, you know. And that's what recovery and being clean and by stop using and has given me today, and that's why I'm so grateful. I'll give a bit of my history. I come from, like the main sharer last week, I come from an estate in Brighton, for the Americans that are listening, and I was sort of see my life as a bit of a trilogy, but that's the sort of fantasy I live in. It's like I see my life as a sort of trilogy. Started off as a black and white kitchen sink like drama. I was sort of born, my mum and dad were really young. Like, my mum was 16, going on 17, my dad was 18. My dad was called Bob DeMod from Brighton. He served Purple Arts. He says to Keith Moon, I don't know whether that's true or not, because I wasn't there. But so he was a bit of a fantasist as well, I think. And, you know, we had this, and he was always out and about. He worked, but he was a violent drunk. And I now understand that he had, you know, the alcoholic disease that I suffer. I don't blame him for that. I sort of have sympathy around that sort of stuff now. I understand it. He had an illness, and it was what the drink and the drugs were doing to him, was what he brought home to a house with, you know, my sister was born about 11 and 12. About 15 months after me, so he had two little nippers running around, working, built. He claimed, I grew up thinking that he built the, he did work on the M25, but that was, he was like, "Oh, right, you built the M25, that it was all that shit." But he'd always come home with, like, presents and stuff like this to make up for the destruction and chaos that he caused. So I grew up with, the point I'm trying to make is, that from a very early age, I had a lot of fear, which I think is quite common in the rooms. And I've certainly found out that there was like-minded people in the rooms that were predominantly, you know, had a lot of fear inside them. And I hadn't been around. I sort of masked it later on in life with drink, firstly, and went for a succession of drugs. So that was the black and white part, and the drugs and the drink came later in life, around about sort of 14, 15. The first drugs I took were Tipex thinners at school. Looking back, I didn't really like the effect, but I did it to be part of the gang in school. Then it went on to sort of getting to sort of 15, 16. Someone picked up some glue, and then it was like, I didn't like that because it made me spin out, but I carried on doing it for a little while. Then I dropped out of that. Then I moved from the estate, and I moved into, didn't move house, but I'd sort of hang around with kids sort of in the centre of Brighton, and they were from different backgrounds, and we started drinking, and then there came the French blues, you know, and it says there we're not interested, you know, we're not interested in what and, or how you use, but I think there is part of this that part of my, it's a big part of my story is how I progressed from and through all the combinations of drugs, and I've sampled every drug there is out there, and I don't think, apart from my last drug of choice, I didn't think I really, really enjoyed the first hits, but I carried on doing it to gain acceptance and be part of a gang, part of a group, football, thieving, sort of shoplifting, getting by, playing this sort of fantasy figure that I thought I had to play to be part of a group, because going home or being at home at times was hell, and you know, in order for me to stay in the gang, I was sort of the clown of the group, and to a certain extent, I still am within the people that I know in the fellowship. I like to have a laugh. I like to have a good time, and you know, my mouth sort of got me into trouble in certain situations, especially in pubs and clubs, and yeah, then it sort of got, but then my life sort of changed. I moved to London in late 80s, and that brought on more drugs. I got a job with rock and with a couple of bands, well, one band in particular, and I went around the world basically taking drugs and drinking and being paid for it and having a right good bash at it. But all the time I was doing this, at this stage of my life, I was coming back home, and there was chaos, and I was taking, you know, I came to the rooms and I heard things like people saying they took people hostage and girls and stuff like this, and pretty quickly I ended up like my old man, you know. I was a fucking violent drunk in and out of the home, and that went on for another 15 to 18 years or something, and I didn't want to learn my lesson. I didn't know what was wrong with me until I came to my first meeting. I put it off for as long as I could, but the inevitable happened when I came to a meeting, and it happened pretty quickly. It was the result of I went down to Fulham to a party, a confirmation party for a friend's little girl's confirmation party. There were kids running around. I was at the bar with pals having a drink, and then they moved the party and it went into the front room in Fulham on the estate. And I picked up some guy's Ritz biscuit, and it happened to be someone's father who was disabled. I didn't know he was even in a fucking wheelchair. I was that far gone. And went to the toilet, and the guy gave me a right good fucking hiding, excuse my French. And even after that, I couldn't start. I went straight to the pub. I had my little boy with me. I got a son. And that didn't stop me carrying on doing what I was doing. And I carried on all that night, and I was responsible for five-year-old kid. And it talks about, you know, being an addict, having this I looked up the word addict, and it talks about an obsession. And my obsession was not to stop and to carry on going. I could beat the world at fucking doing this and that, and like a lot of people, I just could not stop. And I had an obsession to drink and pick up, you know, take drugs. And I knew what was going to happen to me when I took them eventually, what would happen, but it still wouldn't stop. So I had that obsession, and that's what I now realise from working the steps and coming to meetings and listening to other people. And you know, I came to that first meeting, I heard people saying, keep coming back, get some service and work the steps. And I'm one of these people that came in, I was ready, I was willing, and more importantly, I had nowhere else to go, really. I was in a really, you know, I was in a dark space. I was cooped up in my house, no real friends. My family was just about in contact with me. I was just about to lose contact with my son. because his mother had had enough, and she kept saying, you need help, and a lot of people said, you need help, because when I did these things and put this poison in my body, I wasn't normal, but the obsession was there, and the only thing that's removed it is coming to the meetings and working the steps, you know. So from that willingness, I came in, I took suggestions on, I did 90 meetings in 90 days, or near enough. I attended regularly. After that, I got a sponsor, and my sponsor took me through the steps, and I continue to do that to every day since, and that's what keeps me clean. You know, I was powerless, and it was it says that in order to not be powerless, you need a power in your life, and the power that I have today is God, or power greater than myself, but I believe it's God who's always been there in my life, but I've never really called on him to, or her, or to sort of help me out, and I continue to do the things that's suggested on a daily basis. It keeps me clean. I come and attend 10 meetings regularly, and I help others, and I have an enthusiasm for recovery, and nothing's going to sort of get in the way of that, in the way of that enthusiasm. And I have a discipline in my life. I didn't have discipline before. Now I have a discipline in life where I know where I'm going that day. Things are going to happen, some good, some bad, like today. But I know I get through it, and then there's another day. I know I'm going to reach another day tomorrow, by the grace of God, that I'll reach tomorrow, and I'll be sober. I'll wake up tomorrow sober. I'll have all the things that I feel are important in my life, like my family and my son and friends around me. And most importantly, I will be sober if I do the right things. So we're getting to the end of it. So if anyone is new or is struggling, you know, there's people around you can talk to. You know, no one's going to sort of look down on you, no one's going to judge, and if they do, you just keep coming back, and it does, you know, some people it clicks with, and, you know, it's a miracle if you give it a chance, keep coming back, and do the suggested things to the best of your ability, and have faith in this process, and be positive if you can, because all the outside things to me they matter, but they're not as important as my sobriety today. That is the number one thing in my life, is that I stay sober, I don't pick up, and I don't drink, and I don't harm people around me, and I don't have chaos. And if I do, there's a reason for it. It's because I've been going back into old behaviours. So, you know, I've sort of condensed everything into 15 minutes there. So thanks for listening, and I'll leave it there. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.